The race for president comes down to Florida.
And now, my friends, it's time for me to go.
Whether you voted for me or not, I will work to earn your respect.
The resolve of our great nation is being tested. But make no mistake, we will show the world that we will pass this test.
Bush administration officials are pressing for swift action to show resolve against Saddam Hussein.
Democrats benefited from a 1-2 punch of voters unhappy with the war in Iraq.
Yes, we can! Yes, we can change!
The poll finds Americans disapproved of President Obama's handling of the economy, and more people have lost confidence in Obama on Iraq and Afghanistan over the last month.
All right, every decade probably has its moments that feel important, but for reals, the 2000s had some incredibly important moments, and here to help us pick through those is Richard Wolff, MSNBC political analyst. He's also the author of Renegade, The Making of a President. Richard, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start at the very early stages of the 2000s. In 2000 itself, the disputed election of George W. Bush. Where does that?
Yes,
how does that kick things off for us?
Badly. The intense partisanship we saw in the 90s, especially obviously around the impeachment of Bill Clinton, could have abated, but in fact they intensified. And it's easy to overlook 2000, although at the time it was a very obsessive moment in the national and international politics, but everything that happened afterwards kind of makes it easy to think about the pre-9/11 phase and then dismiss all of that. But the lingering bad effects of the questions of legitimacy around President Bush, how he governed after that, really come back to Florida. And while they were sort of papered over in the post-9/11 feeling, I think they came back with a vengeance as the Bush presidency continued. So that intense partisanship, that idea that you don't just oppose a president, you actually have to destroy him, I think starts with impeachment. But 2000 and the muddy aftermath of that contested election really takes you through to the current period where we see Republicans trying to do the same thing to President Obama, not just oppose, but destroy and decimate the presidency.
So you feel like kind of opened up a new kind of viciousness in terms of trying to take down a president.
I think it did, and sustained it in a way that it should have ended with the new decade of 2000 and the new presidency.
Let's move to September 11th, which we would, I guess, clearly have to say is the defining political moment of this decade that we're at the end of.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this from a political prism here, and not the human tragedy and the war that followed, but really what we saw after 9/11 was the creation of two really strong political forces that were relatively new to the debate. One was the politics of fear, and fear of attack, and national security in general, but fear itself is a powerful motivator of voters. And secondly, this question of patriotism, of the flag, wrapping yourself in the flag, those two forces were extremely powerful in two election cycles, 2002, 2004. Republicans tried to use them again in 2006 and 2008 with far less effect. So 9/11 really injected those two things. They're always there in any nation's politics, but they really raised them to the fore, and they proved incredibly effective and powerful.
Are moving from destruction of a man-made variety to a natural disaster, although you could argue that man helped lay the groundwork for it to a degree, Hurricane Katrina, which comes along.
Yeah, you know, Hurricane Katrina I see as a sort of a bookend to what happened the year before, which was the civil war in Iraq. It really kind of undermines this idea of strength of the federal government being something that people could rely on in times of trouble. And it really weakens the notion of President Bush as a strong leader and that the federal government could be there and save us all. So that really leads you into 2006 and 2008. People have called it, I guess, every pun intended, a watershed moment, but that's really what it represents, that rebalancing of confidence about what government can do and what President Bush can do, and this idea that strong leaders can save us all.
Do you feel like that level of dissatisfaction that a lot of Americans felt in this incredibly intense way after Katrina in some way kind of launched Barack Obama into where he ended up?
There would be no Barack Obama, certainly not as president, were it not for the failures of the second Bush term. There is no question about that. And actually, Katrina gave him his first national moment in terms of appearing on the national stage. So there is a link there between what we saw in the civil war in Iraq, the Hurricane Katrina, the sort of collapse of faith in government and in President Bush, and the rise of Obama, which really it comes down to Iowa in 2007. Not when he won, but this long quiet period when he was building up his campaign, his voice, his persona, out of much of the public eye in 2007.
And then starting with the Bush administration, but then really revving up when President Obama took office, is this financial meltdown and trying to sort of fix it. That's obviously another big moment.
Yeah, you know, normally in American politics, we find that public opinion trusts business over government. What the recession and meltdown did was to weaken, really undermine to a huge degree, people's idea that business would be there if government wasn't. It's kind of recalibrated for a brief moment, the idea that government can help us, but only for a brief moment. And the force, the desire for change, the public anger is really something that wasn't abated with the election of Barack Obama. It's continued now. It threatens to envelop him, too.
Richard Wolff, we'll meet you right back here in 10 years. To look back on the 10 years in one day, to look back on the next 10. Richard Wolff, MSNBC political analyst and author of Renegade.
If you've missed anything that you've heard on The Takeaway or any of the look backs over the past decade, which we're doing all this week, go to our website, thetakeaway.org. You can also subscribe to our podcasts there or at iTunes. And, of course, call in with your New Year resolutions at 877-8-MY-TAKE. I'm Celeste Headlee.
I'm Luke Burbank. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.